Paul Potts, the first ever winner of Britain's Got Talent. Is this just another celebrity interview? No, it's not. It's a fascinating story about what happens to you after you're bullied and the long-lasting impact it can have on you for the rest of your life. And we're bringing you this interview at the end of this year's Anti-Bullying Week. Paul told me first what his life was like growing up.
I kind of struggle to mix a bit because I found mixing with other children quite risky. To me, it was the most risky thing I could do. And when you think about it, it is quite risky because you know even as a child, you know a lot of people think that you know meeting other children doesn't matter, but at that stage of your life, it can be quite crucial.
And what was inside your head then? Why were you not naturally mixing with kids?
I don't know. I just had the nerves just to crawl away into a corner with a book. I didn't feel any natural persuasion to speak to people. I would wait for them to come to me because too much of a risk to open myself up to other people.
So that was about self-confidence.
And that may have been one of the reasons that I got bullied because I was a bit insular. I tended to be a bit detached from other people because I just stand off and wait for people to come to me. And of course, they don't, you know, in that position. And you know, you end up accepting any friends that you get, even if they're not particularly good friends.
And was that from an early age?
I struggled all the way through school from the time I first started. At the age of six, I just kind of never quite fitted in, never really knew exactly why, but just knew that it was something that wasn't working for me.
Did you want to be part of the gang? Did you want to be as, I guess, easygoing as the rest of them?
I'm not sure that I wanted to. I didn't really want to be popular. I wasn't looking to be popular, and I didn't want to be like everybody else. I was quite determined that I wanted to be different. I was quite happy being different. I just didn't want to be as hated as I was. But I wasn't at all bothered really about being popular. And you know that never really entered my head. What I didn't enjoy was being hated by everybody.
Hate is a very strong word. You say you were hated in school. In primary school, is this?
Primary and secondary. Getting beaten up at the end of the day was more than a regular thing. And in senior school, it got to the point where somebody tried to throw me through a window. So I think people have to have quite strong feelings towards you in order to do that. But
hold on a second now. More than a regular thing. How regular?
Sometimes it would be daily.
That you were beaten up?
Yeah, I mean, people would pick on little things. I mean, I came from a family where we didn't have a huge amount of money. We never really grumbled about what we did and what we didn't have. But I figured it was better to wear an actual school uniform, even though it wasn't obligatory at the time. And my parents would get a local authority grant for it, and that would help. And because then I'd have something different to wear outside school. And of course, you know, even if you don't wear a uniform, whatever you wear to school, if you're seen wearing it outside of school, then people just say, oh, you're wearing your school clothes outside of school, even if they're not a uniform. So the only trouble was whilst that was quite an intelligent thing to do, it marked me out as different. And I think sometimes children at schools, I think they struggle with anybody that's different because I don't know exactly why, but it does kind of single you out.
They must have had some type of reason in their head to be beating you up. Why did they hate you?
I don't know. I mean, I
you must know, Paul.
I don't know. At one point in senior school, I actually just asked them, but they just said, well, we hate you because you're you. And, you know, people used to pick on the fact that my name, even when I was eight, that people would pick on my name and say that, you know, because it sounds similar to Pol Pot. And at the time, Blue Peter was doing an appeal for the people, for the children and people of Cambodia, and it was something that some of the bullies at school jumped on. But you know, people would, you know, I'd ask people quite directly why they hated me so much, and I wouldn't get a real answer. They'd just hate me because I was me, and
wow.
So that just made me feel that I was somehow worthless, and you know, they hated me just because of who I was, not because of anything that I'd done to them.
So you thought they were right, and therefore you hated yourself.
Well, the more times people tell you something, the more likely you are to believe it. And you know, I didn't hear too many voices saying anything different, so it was very easy to believe what they were saying.
And you say they tried to throw you out a window?
Well, one guy tried to throw me through a window from the outside, and I managed to pull myself away, but caught my head on the window, on the corner of an open window, and ended up having to go to hospital to have stitches.
And were there no teachers protecting you?
Well, the teacher did come at that point, but the bully was standing over me, making sure that I didn't tell on him. The response I generally got from teachers was, ignore it, it will go away. Ignore it, it'll go away. Don't react. And that for me was always a very common reaction. And it might seem simple to ignore bullying, to ignore name calling, but that energy has to go somewhere. It doesn't just disappear. It goes somewhere. And so, you know, with me, it just went inward, and I just ended up having to learn to try and find a coping mechanism. And you know, I thought about throwing myself downstairs, not to kill myself, and I knew that I didn't have the courage to do that. I thought about doing it literally just to get people to feel something other than hatred, even if it was just sympathy. I mean, I understood from an early age that sympathy isn't the same thing as liking someone, and it doesn't last very long, but it was better than people hating me. But I never plucked up the courage to do that either. I just ended up basically just sitting in a corner and just getting used to people shouting things at me.
Well, that's horrible. It's really horrible. Did you have any special friend, good friends around you?
I had a few friends, but I was very aware that if I spent too long with them, it would affect their friendships with other people, and I just felt like I was a burden on them, because you know, I had nowhere else to turn, so I'd end up just finding myself a quiet corner to sit in, and sometimes I would escape to the music room if I was allowed. But we weren't always allowed to go to the music room at lunchtime. I'd quite often try and find a way of getting in there, because that would get me out of the playground. Anything that wasn't in the playground was good. And so when I joined the choir, that got me away from the bullies twice a week. I think bullying is a challenging thing to deal with. And it still, you know, it still exists. It still hasn't been dealt with. I think sometimes people look for a simple solution to it, and there isn't one. I mean, one of the worst episodes of bullying for me was when I was accused by a teacher of stealing a book, which I'd actually just returned because my older brother hadn't returned it, and I brought it in, and I was accused of stealing it, and I actually had 100 children all screaming thief at me for 20 minutes on the coach on the way back from games, and the teacher that accused me was actually on the coach, and not one of them said anything. And when you have nobody saying anything against what people are saying, it reinforces the message, because basically by them saying nothing, they're tacitly agreeing, and that for me just ended up just reinforcing the message. And I just tried to get through each day, and you know, sometimes it was tough, and I enjoyed the singing. The singing really was the only part of my life where I felt that I wasn't surrounded by people that hated me, that singing was something that gave me joy, and that's how I became to think of as singing as being my friend, my voice being my best friend, because it was the one thing in life that I could rely on.
Would you sing to yourself?
Well, I'd practice at home and I'd sing at home and I'd sing in the school choir and in the church choir. And whilst I wasn't exactly popular in those choirs, I wasn't hated as much as I was generally in school. So it did enable me to escape it to a point. So singing became a natural escape for me, and it became something that was, you know, always important. But it was something that was just mine.
I understand. I do. And so therefore, you've got this thing that makes you feel good, makes you feel good inside. Did you realise that you had a special talent?
I didn't really think of it as a talent to be shared. It was something that was kind of mine. And I did start doing local competitions, and I always find them really nerve-wracking. And watching other people perform, I just assumed they were going to be so much better than me. And sometimes nerves would get to me, and I'd forget the words, and not perform very well. Sharing my singing with other people kind of felt risky, and I was already risk averse. And singing for other people just kind of opens yourself up to criticism. And at that point in my life, singing was the only thing that really that I felt that I was any good at to myself. And I wasn't sure about opening that part of me up to scrutiny.
So here's the bit I don't understand. I'm hearing you that you were this person and your self-esteem was rock bottom, actually, and you automatically thought other people were better for it than you. So why put yourself up for one of the biggest talent shows in the UK, where you are going to be exposed, if you really feel you're not talented, to ridicule?
I'm not sure, really. I literally just stumbled across the website. It was almost accidental. It came up as part of a pop-up window that I'd intended to close and accidentally maximised it. And I ended up just filling it out. And I just kind of assumed that nothing would ever happen with it. Because I caught my reflection in my laptop and I thought, well, seeing as you've got such a great face for radio, you know, and you're too old for this kind of thing, you do the wrong kind of music, you know, why on earth would they pick you? And
you were a manager of a mobile phone shop at the time, right? Carphone Warehouse.
Yeah, and I just saw it as being no risk, because I thought there was no risk of them picking me. But in the end, I decided to use a 10-pence piece to decide, and I've got a 10-pence piece out of my pocket. Flipped the coin and decided if it landed on heads, then I'd send the application in, and if it landed on tails, then I'd cancel it. Thankfully, looking back, it did land on heads, but I never believed that I'd ever hear anything back.